15th floor of the Energy Building, this is GNR Airtime, the podcast that explores the current trends from emerging and well-established industries hosted by the lawyers of GNR. This podcast is for general guidance only and does not constitute definitive advice.
Everyone, we are back today in our second episode of GNR Airtime, where we will be discussing about startups, tech winter, and fundraising challenges. With me today, here we have Tama Sukirno, a senior associate in our Jakarta corporate team who has been working in many of our tech and startup deals. Hi, Tama.
Hi, Agnes. Good to be here.
Okay, so just to kick off the discussions, we have kept hearing words like startups, tech winter, and fundraising these days. Could you please start with laying out the lay of the land on the startup industries in Indonesia?
Sure. So maybe just to give sort of a bit of background in terms of how Indonesia sort of over the past, let's say 5, 7, 8 years have had sort of this resurgence in tech companies actually. Both homegrown, but as well as foreign investments or sort of foreign companies coming into Indonesia, in large part due to sort of a large population that Indonesia has. It began sort of with a lot of e-commerce platforms for online shopping, but also then developed into ride hailing, oftentimes using bicycles, which, you know, then sort of evolved into all these sorts of services that really have, you know, improved tremendously lives of many, you know, from delivery of food to delivery of sort of career services, then sort of experiencing another shift in sort of the lay of the land in focusing on other things such as, you know, financial services from fintech companies that provide loans to sort of online banking, online payment, and sort of constantly evolving, and sort of new startups come. Again, new startups also come and go as well, but really a lot of growth in various sort of industries that cater to a lot of people. For example, we've been seeing startups in the healthcare industry, startups in education, and sort of different aspects of, you know, people's lives that have really been beneficial, I would say, again, in the past, you know, 5, 7, maybe 8 years in Indonesia.
Okay, so from what you just described, basically the startup industries in Indonesia now is no longer centered to a specific area, but rather it covers a widespread range of industries. Okay, that's interesting, but I was thinking to ask about the effect of the economic downturn and then the COVID situation in the past couple of years, because the growth stories that you shared sounded really promising, but the past couple of years have been difficult even for conventional business. So how have those been affecting startups?
Yeah, so obviously Indonesia is not immune to the world economy and sort of world sentiment of what's going on in the world in terms of, you know, concerns of economic growth, inflation, and so forth. And there has been sort of, you know, slowing down, I would say, and in many sense, correction as well to sort of the high valuations that we've seen in the past with various unicorns, decacorns, even in Indonesia. So indeed, there has been sort of a correction and an adjustment in terms of how Indonesian companies have been able to fundraise. One particular note is that the idea of sort of a global IPO or sort of doing an IPO abroad, raising funds from basically, you know, a wider pool of foreign investors, in a way has hidden a snag, in large part to, you know, not just Indonesia specific companies, but sort of startups in general, when facing the realities of the market when they do an IPO, have struggled in convincing investors of its profitability. Because again, the perception of startups has been that it's a money-burning enterprise that's not profitable and will take time to sort of profit. And, you know, that sort of view or assessment is still held by many. And I think that is part of the challenge that is faced, you know, just anecdotally from our firm. Now, we have seen I guess bit of slowing down in terms of, you know, round C, D investments in companies, because in large part, you know, companies are finding difficult to justify some of their Series A and Series B sort of valuations and fundraisings. Although we still see sort of early round Series A and Series B fundraisings. So indeed, it has been difficult, to say the least, with even in Indonesia, and I think not just here in Indonesia, but I think globally. And there has been sort of a shift as well, both in investors' mind and also I think on founders and companies' minds, of focusing on profitability, focusing on EBITDA. You know, when we first came in, a lot of our documents sort of marked performance by GMV, gross margin value. And I think more and more we're looking at EBITDA as a measure of performance. So these shifts, again, in part due to sort of the global, shall we say, recession, indeed has impacted Indonesia.
So there has indeed been a shift on the attitude of the investors in terms of picking which startups are worth investing on or not yet in that case. But from the company side itself, even with the slowing down that you just mentioned, we still see that certain startups can still make it. They do still get fundraisings these days. Could you perhaps elaborate a bit on what do you think are the key differences in terms of strategy, in the sense that certain businesses do make it and others may not necessarily so?
Yeah, again, I think the era of fundraising just based on a story, a growth story or a potential, I think is somewhat over. I guess, again, as I mentioned, I think a lot of the focus is on profitability, or at least having a pathway to profitability. And even looking at the businesses as well, you know, a lot of the areas and industries that we've seen actually aren't traditional areas that you would expect a tech company or a VC would invest in. Let's say, for example, farming, for example, fisheries, sort of kind of a back-to-basic approach in terms of investments is some of the trends that we're seeing now. You know, things such as used car startups, looking at, again, others that are sort of, you know, on businesses that you wouldn't traditionally associate startups with, you know, even clinics, you know, for example. So these sorts of trends of going back to basics and sort of looking again at the bottom line, I think has been sort of the trend and the way that businesses has shifted in trying to get funding. No longer sort of selling this potential or growth story that, you know, oftentimes don't materialize. So I think there has been that particular focus and in terms of a path to profitability.
Okay, so other than from the side of the investors and then from the companies itself, as a firm, we also have been helping startups to grow from the early 2010s and then up till now. Do you see that from our side as lawyers, there have also been a shift in our approach, both when we are advising the investors and when we are advising the companies, especially noting the shift in attitude that you just described earlier?
Yeah, again, a lot of our work in the venture capital space and fundraisings is sort of a good mix of being practical and also obviously being cautious as well. Because again, our job as a lawyer is indeed to advise, to help assist our clients navigate and manage the risks that, you know, investors would face in investing in a company in Indonesia. But I think what's different in the approach of a VC deal and fundraisings, because again, a lot of the dynamics is based on trust as well, trust between the founders and the investors, and also in terms of, you know, trusting that the process and all the documentations and so forth be done in a fair way that's, you know, good for both the investors and also the company. That sort of, you know, approach of trying to strike the right balance and do it quickly is, I think, where we help or we add value in sort of approaching these sorts of deal. Because for these businesses, you know, the money from the investors can mean a lot in terms of paying their employees, in terms of continuing their business, continuing to grow. And likewise as well, from the investor side, they have responsibility as well to their own shareholders or investors to ensure that the investment here is done in a proper way. So I think striking that balance in, on one hand, protecting our client in whichever side that we represent them, but also on the other hand, being able to be practical, focus on the key issues, and to quickly close or facilitate the closing of a fundraising. I think that is where we add value.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Because oftentimes when we act as advisors, like the first thing that comes to mind is just to do what the client asks us to do. But at the end of the day, as you correctly pointed out, like the way for us to really add value is to also give them real and practical inputs of the things that may not be in their, in the top of their heads. And that's a good way for us to go, I guess. So on the last note, how excited are we on the next few years in the startup industry?
I think there's still a lot of cause for optimism in general, not just in startup, but I think for Indonesia, again, not to be biased, but I'm quite bullish with our trajectory. Again, we have a good chunk of the population that's consumptive. We also have a good demographic at the moment. So there's lots of things in Indonesia's favor. And I see, you know, obviously, in any sort of process, there's this sort of, you know, phase of somewhat disillusionment or correction, shall we say, where there's a dip. But you know, ultimately, in the longer run, I'm still positive with the potential that Indonesia has, because oftentimes we forget as well sort of the optimism that was apparent when you know, shall we say, there's the tech boom. A lot of those hypotheses, in the long run, I think should be true, in the sense that there is a lot of growth potential for Indonesia and Indonesian companies. And in a lot of sense, a lot of potential innovation as well. Don't get me wrong that there will still be challenges and a lot of issues that Indonesia as a wider sort of, you know, as a country will still need to deal with. But I think in the longer term, or even in the medium term, I see still a lot of good potential for Indonesia and also in the burgeoning startup world.
Yeah, so I guess it's a time to be cautiously optimistic, if I may put it differently. All right, then. I guess all in all, it's an exciting time for us in the startup industry. And let's see what comes up in the next few months and in the next few years. Thanks, Tama.